Ready for a career in behavioral health? Earn your online degree at Herzing University. Choose from health and human services, psychology, or social work programs. Gain the skills to work, coordinate, and manage nonprofits. Secure a bachelor's in psychology to study mental health or advance your social work career through our online Masters of Social Work. Let us help you become a social change agent. Your future starts now at Herzing University. Text HEALTH to 85109. That's HEALTH to 85109. Or visit herzing.edu.
Welcome once again to our Super Spectral Spooktober series. We've been expecting you ever since we saw your return in our crystal skull. This time, we've collected a quartet of creepy tales to keep you up at night. Stories including a suspected satanic cemetery and a faceless phantom. Gruesome gossip to tell around the campfire of escaped serial killers and the disturbing demonic presence known as Der Grossmann. This case file, join the fearless as they huddle around the headstones and regale you with some fearsome folk tales in the form of urban legends.
Welcome to Alien Theorist Theorizing Case File 209, Urban Legends.
I'm Braden.
I'm Zo.
I'm Dan.
And I'm the Beverly Hills Mongoose. Braden, you look exactly like fucking King Diamond. It's hilarious.
Who's King Diamond?
Yeah, who's that?
Merciful Fate?
Who?
Oh, man.
Nope.
Deadly Sinners! No? Ah, oh, boys.
Missed it.
Disappointed all of you. Even Zell.
Missed. Even though I love music, I'm terrible with names of performers. Just absolutely terrible.
Abigail. Another fucking beautiful. Ah, oh, dude. You guys need to look into King Diamond after this. He's who.
Do they rock softly?
No, fuck that. Okay, you remember Jay and Silent Bob? He's who he's playing on the fucking ghetto blaster outside.
Oh, yeah.
The fucking quick stop. Dance.
That's too much for this specter.
But you look just like him. Seriously, it's bizarre.
What's the matter with him?
We'll do a side by side. Is he half dead?
Is he dying?
I can't believe you guys don't know who King Diamond is. I'm ashamed.
Okay, well, we'll do a comparison. All right, just before we start the show, I got another threat that needs to be taken care of here. So I got to play this video from our good buddies in the ATI once again. See what happens here.
The following announcement has been paid for by Alien Theorist Illuminati.
Hi, Braden, Sal, Dan, and Andrew.
Ooh,
at Alien Theorist Theorizing. You're doing great work. Keep churning out those podcasts. Much love from Bigfoot Bay.
Yeah. Shake it, Bigfoot Bay.
Oh, yeah. A little titty shake there.
Braden's way too excited about that.
Oh, yeah. Got Braden.
It's
yeah.
Like an actual person?
That's
a Bigfoot, isn't it?
No, I'd be like, they have like a Instagram account? Like, are they like
I don't know. I have to look into that. Bigfoot Bay.
Yeah, she's number one on my celebrity pass list.
Hall pass?
Hall pass, yeah. Bigfoot Bay.
Uh-huh. Buddy, those cheeks would snap that thing right off. You want nothing to do with that.
Yeah, would not end well for you.
The videos are pretty funny. People have been sending us Bigfoot Bay videos nonstop. So thanks
where?
To the ATI for sending that. On Facebook and stuff, they've been tagging us.
That is my first time seeing Bigfoot Bay.
Sorry, it's pretty good.
And me like
yeah.
me.
I hope this doesn't awaken something in me.
Too late.
All right, so tonight we're talking a few urban legends. We all have picked one, and we'll be presenting them.
And if for one thing, all of these are 100% true.
Nothing but facts.
Everything we talk about is real true.
100% true.
Every urban single legends. True.
Unequivocal.
Urban. Unequivocally true.
Just all of it. Drink it in.
Thank you.
Gospel.
Switching that filter back.
Right, if you have a heart condition or you are pregnant and due soon, you may want to leave the room.
No.
So, we're just doing a little round. Yeah, so we're like all, is that what we're doing?
No.
Yeah.
Dan's going first.
You said you wanted to go first.
Okay.
Dan's telling us a true freaky story.
True. Freaky spooky. Story.
Very spooky.
Just 12 miles southeast of Topeka, Kansas, sits a nearly forgotten town simply known as Stull. An unassuming and sparsely populated community that harbors a dark mystery. Official records show the town was originally founded in 1857 and had the name Deer Creek. Now, later, historians say the town was renamed Stull after the area's first postmaster, although rumor has it that the town also was known as Skull, and the residents simply changed the lettering to make the name seem more sensible.
Yeah, be more approachable. It can't be good for tourism, right? You can be scaring everybody away. You're only getting a bunch of Zells showing up. You don't
want that. Now, near the center of town, set upon a gently sloping hill, are the remains of a small church that had its roots reaching back to when the Pennsylvania Dutch congregation first settled in the area in 1867, but eventually fell into disuse and abandonment in the early 1900s. One might well expect that this kind of historical landmark would have been painstakingly preserved, except this church was seemingly torn down in the span of a single night by, as of to this day, unknown parties in 2002. Now, the plot of land that surrounds the spot of sacred ground where the church once stood is a cemetery spotted with headstones, some in extremely poor condition. One persisting legend has it that among these graves is a plot where the son of the devil and a witch was buried. The story goes along the lines that a witch, which consorted with the devil on the ground of the abandoned church, bore a son who took on a disfigured form upon his birth. Some claim his spirit still stalks the area of the church in a terrifying werewolf form. Fuck. Now, extending from this tale is the stairway to hell that is supposed to lay beside the church.
Is it one of the most haunted places on earth?
It is perhaps the most haunted place on earth. Shit. Now, local legend has it that if one steps down and follows these stairs, they will be cast into a seemingly timeless void where they perceive hours passing on the staircase. And yet, when they finally turn around and step back onto the ground level, only minutes have gone by.
Oh my God, it's like work. It's the worst.
Yeah, it's like hell.
That's what I'm saying.
And it's by this staircase that some say the devil arrives twice a year to visit the grave of his monstrous progeny.
Little Nicky.
The devil's rising from the gateway of hell, situated within the abandoned church, became a concerning draw for large groups of people starting in 1978. 150 people in 1978 grew to 500 people by 1988, and the local authorities were eventually asked to intervene on behalf of the residents of Stull. The most recent event involving law enforcement and a local news crew visiting the site in 1999 were allowed to film on location, but were hurriedly escorted off the premises just 30 minutes before midnight. Now, some people might be aware of Stull from recent mentions in the media, probably Supernatural season 5 finale. And if you look at photos of this place, if you were going to have some type of Stephen King, you know, Garth Ennis, mundane supernatural showdown going down, like, this is the place that you would have it. You have this church that was torn down. It's not there anymore. It used to be there. Local legend also says that this place, that when it rained, the rain wouldn't even touch the inside of the church. Like, it would just stay dry within the, even though it had no roof.
It did not have a roof.
Instant evaporation from the demonic forces.
Fires of hell.
Now, there's some say that perhaps that this was just, most of the legends that you find can kind of trace their origins back to the 1970s. And it is widely held by most official sources that perhaps there was just one professor at a nearby university that came up with the legend of Stull, of the church, just taking the dilapidated church, which actually existed there, and then attach these tales to it just to make something a little bit interesting. And then from there, you know, bored teenagers took it just a little bit farther. But the thing is that if you try to go there, you can't get in. The entire place is fenced off. Nobody wants you to be there. And most of the time, people report when they actually go there, they're pretty much actively chased off by locals.
This is where Diablo fell.
Yeah, like, if you're going to have one of those kinds of like Neil Gaiman-esque showdowns between the devil and, you know, the forces of good or whatever, like, this is the place that you would have it. It's kind of close to the geographical center of the continental United States. Like, if you're going to have a battle over for the soul of America or something like that, it'd probably be here. But, you know, it's one of those things where you have like the unassuming location that, you know, nobody's ever heard of, but has some kind of significance, like way back in the past. Like, it'd be something like this.
Like, maybe there's just a fucking tunnel leading straight to hell. And that's why it's still fucking, the water evaporates when it gets there because it's so hot. And they know that, so they got to protect it. That's why they got some old crusty, like, crusader who's got a bunch of chalices. Right?
Yeah. That's why there's there's nothing in that town. Like, as far as looking it up, like, it's an unincorporated community. It's like, it's just like not that many people. There's not that huge a population there. They don't have their own school district, nothing. It's just nobody really lives there. And why would you want to live there? But they somehow have this place here that they don't want to capitalize. Like, you have these other places that you have, you know, haunted houses or haunted asylums, and some places turn them into pretty much like tourist traps or tourist attractions. This place, yeah, but this place is too scary. They don't want you going there.
Scariest place in the world.
It's too scary. This one's legit. Hell. Hell on earth.
Gateway to hell. Stull, Kansas.
Stull, Kansas.
Skull, Kansas.
Skull, Kansas. Skull, that's called by its real name. That's the name.
That's how the legend goes, anyways.
Fucking cool.
It is cool.
Add that to the list of places I don't want to fucking go.
I like this one because, yeah, you, Dan said, like, these places usually turn to tourist traps or, like, you know, hot spots for ghost hunting shows. This one's too terrifying.
It's too fucked up.
Yeah.
I wonder if there's, like, just, like, legendary bloodlines of people who have, like, lived there for fucking centuries that are, like, they protect the church. And those are the people that chase you away.
Yeah, it's that's the part line that I found most,
like, the mummy
about
kind
this
of thing.
Yeah, exactly. the Magi.
Yeah.
And I would, like, that's what I found most intriguing about this legend was that they actively seemed to protect this place. That you had in 1999, they had a crew which seemingly had permission to kind of film on the premises, and then they even had like a police escort, but then like someone showed up from the community like 11:30, like before midnight. They were there to film, you know, whatever's going to happen. The two times they say they're supposed to, like, the devil's supposed to show up is during like winter solstice and like the summer equinox. And I think they were there during one of those dates. And it was just about to hit midnight. And, you know, if they were going to record and nothing happened and disprove the entire thing, and yet they were told to leave, you know, before it struck midnight. So
what if this is just a town of just extremely sensible people? We're like, hey, listen, we don't know if this is real, but fuck off. All right. We don't want to take our chances. Beat it.
Could be.
Those are my kind of people.
It's smart.
The town had to gather together to kill the devil's son there.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. And banish the devil. They teamed up, and now these fucking dickheads are coming up with their spiked hair and their fucking TV cameras trying to get paranormally activated. Like, fuck off.
All right, Zach Bagans, get the fuck out of here.
Beat it.
Kick rocks.
I don't care how big your Samsung Galaxy tablet is, all right, pal? Kick rocks.
We got a Ouija there.
Ouija. We got to?
Yeah, right. We got a Ouija there.
That's a solo. That's the one we talked about where you're going to be DJing with two of them.
I'm putting this right to the top of the list of places we've got a Ouija at.
No. I want to go to, we're going to Colonial Williamsburg. I'm all about that. I want to do it and go visit Dan.
That would be awesome.
Meet him there. We can stay at his place. He already offered.
Yeah.
That's the trick.
Like, I don't remember. It was, you invited us between drudgeries.
You did. And you said we'd all get our fucking butter churned. So we're looking forward to it. It's going to be a good
time. Great fucking time. Brayden, you want to go next?
Yeah, I've got an urban legend that actually, I can't say this enough. This didn't happen to me, but it happened to a friend of a friend of mine.
Interesting.
Right? Not me. I'm going to tell the story as if it did happen to me, but it's not mine. It's a friend of a friend of mine. All right. This friend, you know, lives in like an East Coast city, maybe like a small suburb of, let's say, Pittsburgh. All right. So me and some buddies, we were just finishing up. We bootlegged some bourbon and we just finished up at the Cindy Hopkins dance.
Sadie Hopkins.
That's where the girls ask the guys, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No one asked us. So
Big surprise.
So probably hanging out with us then.
So we were looking for trouble, right? With a capital T. Now, I was with some friends, Tommy, Donnie, and
Ronnie.
Ronald. No, he doesn't like going by Ronnie.
He hates Ronnie.
Okay. Ron or Ronald. And of course me. And there'd been some strange things happening in our town. A couple of missing people. A couple of potential murdered victims. Right? We were hearing rumors around about neighboring cities, about people on Lover's Lane. Perhaps missing their faces. Right? So there'd been these creepy stories of this a wandering specter walking down the highway and people swerving or hitting it with their cars and it seemingly being nowhere to be found. So, of course, no one asked us to go to the dance, so we couldn't get in. So we were like, what else should we do? And we're like, why don't we go see this? Why don't we go see if we can find this thing? Something made a noise down in the hallway there. So we start driving around, and all we had to know is that some people say this specter or illumination, seemingly glue in the dark. We heard rumors that it perhaps didn't have a face, and it was looking to replace its face with yours.
They want to take your face off.
So we know you're going to be safe, at least.
So
gonna pick one of the other guys.
Yeah. So we went for a drive to a couple of the haunted areas where we had heard that there were sightings of this thing. So we drove our Cadillac. This is like 1940s. This is around the 1940s, by the way.
Your friend
FYI.
It didn't happen to me, Dan. This happened on an East Coast city. in an age around the 1940s.
Sure. Okay.
I think I forgot to mention that point. It doesn't really impact the story that much, other than
no, it's fine.
We're driving an
the
old
type of car,
old convertible.
Driving.
Yeah.
I mean, we still have convertibles now. I mean,
slicked back our hairs and we took off. Now, most of the sightings and the stories of these missing people came from this one forest, where in this forest, there's an abandoned railway tunnel. So we pulled up to this at the dead of night, headlights pointing at it. And in the headlights, we see the warnings. Graffiti painted on the sign. The Green Man lives here. Beware of the Green Man. Charlie No Face lives here. So we're sitting there when Ronald goes, we should walk through to the other side. And Tomald? What did I say his name?
Ronald and Tommy.
Tommy, that's right. Tommy. Tommy said he was driving and he said, there ain't a chance in hell I'm going in there.
Smart guy.
Then Donnie, he said he turned in the front seat facing me. I was scared, shaken. I don't want to go. And Donnie turns to me and he goes, hey, listen, Ronald and you are going to, Ronald's going to take you in there. If you ever want to hang out with us, cool. By the way, I wasn't a cool kid, and these are the cool kids.
Right.
They brought me along.
Would have been invited to the Sadie Hawkins dance if they're the cool kids. What are you talking about?
Well, they're bullies, and they brought me along. They felt bad. Anyways,
okay.
Back to it. Ronald tells me, he goes, Ronald's going to take you through the tunnel. I go, I want to hang out with these guys again. I got no friends. So I go, okay. You guys are going to keep the headlights on, right? They're like, yeah, we're going to keep the headlights on. You guys run to the other end and then come on back. We say, okay. So we jump out of the car. And as we're approaching, I notice little bones around the entrance of the tunnel. It's very creepy. So I look at Ronald and I say, you ready? Let's do this. And we run. And there's little puddles in the tunnel. And we're running. And all of a sudden, the lights turn off. We're in the pitch black of the tunnel.
Fuck.
What was that? We hear the sound, what's seemingly a metal cane tapping. Oh, by the way, a lot of these reports of this specter, he has a cane. Forgot to mention that as well.
And you and your friends are aware of this
aware of
the
cane. He goes, oh no, this is probably the Green Man. When all of a sudden, it's Tommy. He's pulled a fast one on us. Gotcha. Ah! Scares us in the tunnel. Damn you, Tommy. Why would you do that? We all have a good laugh. Okay, let's get back. Let's get back to the car. We start walking back, and yet again, what was that? Oh, it's got to be Donnie. We run to the car. We get to the car. There's no Donnie. The noise is getting louder and louder. Let's get out of here. Tommy jumps in, turns the car on. As the lights hit the tunnel, we see it. A glowing green man. And his face, he's seemingly wearing the face of our friend. As the skin slowly sloughs off, revealing his whole disfigured face. As we peel the hell out of here. And we never go back again. We never, ever saw Donnie again.
Fucking
Donald.
You didn't avenge him? You didn't go back in there?
Hell no.
Hey, hold on a sec. So the Green Man and Charlie No Face are the same guy?
Same person.
Okay.
Charlie Green Man.
Charlie Green No Face.
Is Green Man his last name? Like Charlie Green Man, aka the No Face?
Now, this urban legend around Pittsburgh, it's been around for decades and decades and decades. People seeing specters, reporting seeing this seemingly no-faced man on the side of the road. Some people even claiming to have hit it or hit him with their car while he's in the middle of the road.
Do you know it of happened a certain last green summer? Man in Philadelphia, but...
Sorry?
I said, did it happen last summer?
No, it didn't, but...
he's got a hook.
This urban legend actually has a somewhat real events tied behind it. There is a man that lived in the Pittsburgh area named Raymond Robinson. And when Raymond Robinson was 8 years old, he climbed to the top of like a trolley outside of Beaver Falls in the it's called Murado Bridge in the Pittsburgh area. And he was shocked by 22,000 volts.
Toasted.
And he was shocked for so long that he lost an arm, he lost both eyes, and it basically melted his face at 8 years old. He didn't die. He actually lived to a ripe old age of 74.
Did he spend a lot of time touring high schools giving speeches?
No. What he did is he would go for walks at night because he knew that his appearance seemingly spooked people and caused an issue. Because if you look up pictures of Charlie No Face, which is the real life Raymond Robinson, they are hard to look at. Now, he's also been hit by cars because he wanders too close to the edge of the tree. He's been hit by a car twice. And
I imagine his eyesight's probably not that great.
He has no eyesight. He's blind, completely blind. He can't see. He's got no daredevil senses. Now, he passed away in 1985, but for many years in the 60s and 70s, people would pick him up and drive him to bars and trade beer and cigarettes to get his picture. There was lots of people that knew who he was and knew the legend, and they'd pick up him and they referred to him as Charlie No Face. Now, where the tunnel story comes in of why there's this tunnel in near the Pittsburgh area where they call it the Green Man's Tunnel is because at one point, this is unsubstantiated, but the rumors is that police were called because he was severely beaten one time in this tunnel. And perhaps that he still lives in that tunnel today, waiting to get vengeance on the people that assaulted him. He didn't die in the tunnel, but he was severely assaulted in there. And people still say they see him or hear the clicking of his cane to this day.
Well, I get the cane now because he can't see.
Yeah. He's blind.
I mean, Charlie No Face, yins are legend.
People seeing him on the road, this took off from like someone driving and being like, you know, imagine catching someone in the headlights where you're like, this man had, Zell, if you want to pull up a picture of Raymond Robinson, if you're watching the live stream, danger warning, he's hard to look at. But if you were driving Raymond in the middle Robinson? Of the night, yeah, you can type in Charlie No Face, Raymond Robinson. If you're driving in the dead of night and your headlights caught this man as you were driving past, you would be terrified. And
can't be any worse than that lady that was on Oprah when we were kids.
It's just
that lady
as bad.
Scared the
it's
fucking
just
shit out
as
of me.
Bad. It's just as bad lady? As that. Yeah, the girl who got her face destroyed by the chimp. So I can see why people would see this and then be like, I saw this man with no face. Right. And that's where this legend's born is then, you know, all of a sudden he's being seen at Lover's Lane.
Oh, yeah.
Look at this guy's face. I've seen this guy before, actually. Now,
that's pretty fucking scary.
That is a, oh, man. Poor guy.
Right. So, you know,
exactly how you're imagining right now in your head.
Yes. Fucking scary.
Terrifying. Yeah. Now, you know, and it goes from there of him, you know, him stalking people on the highway. Grabbing, you know, the grabbing Lover's Lane victims, a haunted specter. It goes all over the place. The only place where this legend seemingly remains where it's a potential for a ghost is the Green Man's Tunnel, where they say his spirit still lives on walking his route.
And stealing faces.
Stealing faces.
Yeah. Well, he's got every intention to steal faces if he's trying to fix his up.
I mean, it makes sense.
Poor guy. Oof.
No, I wonder if you watched that movie Face Off. Nicolas Cage was like, that's a fucking good idea. I could look like John Travolta.
Describe him to me.
Oh, shit. Okay, we got a couple more stories, then we'll do a little theorizing of where we think urban legends originate from and all the rest, but I'm going to grab a quick beer. We'll be right back.
We're back for more spooky
spooky stories.
I can't take you in these filters anywhere close to serious.
Brayden, do your skeleton laugh that you're practicing prior to the podcast.
My skeleton laugh?
Yeah, do your skeleton laugh.
I don't even know what it was. I must have not been practicing.
Even better.
Oh, that's that one. That one?
Yeah, that's the one.
That must be the one.
That was it. That was it. It's fantastic.
It goes with the filter.
Yeah, I agree. Boom. I concur.
All right, we got a couple more tales to tell. Andrew, you want me to go? Or you want to go?
It's up to you, Zell. You call the shots, buddy.
All right, well, I'll go and I'll put all the pressure's on you to close out the show.
Oh, I will blow it for the closer. Don't ever let me be the closer, but yeah, go for it.
For this tale, I've chosen a true story, not an urban legend.
I thought they're all true.
Yeah.
This is correct.
Picked a truer,
I've picked a truer, more true. A more true tale. Names and locations have been altered to protect the families involved. But all the details you're about to hear are true. This is the story of Emma Townsley. She just turned 13 years old.
Is that her real name?
I said names have been changed to protect the family.
It's a spooky name, though, Zell. That's a name that's begging to be paranormally activated. That's a good name.
I was just
name.
Testing you.
Emma Townsley, just turned 13. She usually spent most of her weekends tagging along with her parents on their work trips as they traveled around a lot. But this time was the first time she was allowed to stay home. All she had to do was take care of the dog and not throw a party. We've all been there. So her parents bundle up their luggage. They take a cab to the airport. They say a few rules to her. Make sure you keep your phone on at all times. Keep the doors locked and don't answer the door for anyone. She agrees. They leave her alone. Immediately, she gets on Instagram. She's texting her friends. She's planning her first party, as we all have done. The weekend, she's telling them, come over at 9 p.m. It's all good. She's watching her favorite shows, probably like, you know, some trash reality TV, I would imagine. So she's taking care of her dog, Boomer. It's just her and Boomer in the house. Boomer is just like a medium-sized golden doodle. Nice dog.
Good
really,
dog.
Really, That's good really, dog. Really friendly dog. So this is a city close to home. I won't say the real city, but it has a penitentiary, a correctional facility in it, in the Okanagan Valley. It's wintertime, so it's dark out early. You know, we're in mid-November, so the time has just changed. 4:30, it's pitch black out. But she's got to walk the dog. So she gets the leash for the dog. This dog has a coat, one of those furry, woolly dog coats, you know the ones. Now she's doing that. She notices the motion light on outside the kitchen window. Strange, but I know it could be many things. Could have been a neighborhood cat. It could have been a lot of things.
Raking.
But at the same time, she thought she noticed the shadow pass through the window or pass by the window. Ooh. She did a double take. Nothing there. No big deal. Just then, her parents call to check in. They have just arrived at their location, or destination. They call and check in. This is like the third time they've sent two texts. Now they're calling to make sure she's sick of it. She answers, "Yes, everything's fine, Mom. Don't worry about me." She breaks rule number one. She puts her phone on silent. In a haste, she just throws it on the table, leashes up the dog, leaves out the front porch, closes the door behind her. Off she goes on her walk. As she's walking around the neighborhood doing her normal route with the dog, you know, it's like an hour walk route, 5K or so. About 20 minutes in, she realizes, you know, it's a Friday night. Now it's about 5 p.m. It's dark out, but like it's after work. Seems to be no one on the street. No one driving. Seems very odd that no one would be out. Then she starts getting an uneasy feeling like something may be following her. She does the shoulder check left, shoulder check right. Nothing. But about half an hour into her walk, she decides to cut it short. It's too weird for her. And as she cuts it short, she starts thinking to herself, "Did I lock the front door?
No, Emma.
Did I lock the front door?" She's thinking to herself. So hastily, she proceeds back to the house. Still, this whole time, now it's about 5:30. After work Friday, you would think there'd be people coming home, driving, walking, doing all the stuff on the weekend you would normally do. She gets back to the house. She reaches for the door. Sure enough, she forgot to lock it.
Oh, no.
No big deal, she thinks. Like, it's not a small town, but it's a smaller city. It's fairly safe. Thinks nothing of it. Goes in. Then she locks it. Of course. She goes to pick up her phone off the table. It's not there. So I could have sworn it's through on the table. And then she looks up. She kind of checks around really quick. The phone's on the counter, like on the bar, about 6 feet away. She's like, "Oh, didn't think much of it. Thought like, oh, I thought I threw it on the table. I guess I put it on the, you know, on the bar." She picks up her phone off the bar and she realizes she's missed about 10 calls and about 20 texts from friends and family, from her mom. "Where are you? Call me back as soon as you can." So she does. She calls her mom back. "Mom, is everything all right?" She's like, "Oh, where have you been? Like we're really worried about you." She's like, What do you mean? And then she says, "There was a prisoner called Jack Norman who was being transported from this correctional facility. The car hit a deer, went off the road. Driver and passenger killed on impact. Prisoner."
Goddamn incompetent sheriffs.
"Prisoner freed. On the loose. A manhunt ensues." Sure enough, she turns on the TV. Jack Norman, serial killer, on the loose. This is location. Anyone within a 5 kilometer radius, lock your doors, stay inside. Do not travel. Do not go anywhere. If you see this man, he's considered very dangerous. Call the police immediately. So she hangs up with her mom. She goes around, checks all the windows and the doors. Make sure they're all locked, sealed up. She does a quick look in all the rooms. Checks everywhere. Nothing. All good. Spends the rest of the night. She has to cancel her party with her friends because her friends' parents won't let her come over, obviously. A serial killer on the loose. So it's just her and Boomer hanging out. A little worried. Her parents are now, it's a 3-hour flight away. They can't just come back. So she maintains communication with them. But eventually, I mean, you got to go to bed.
Mm-hmm. No, you don't.
You got to
stay up.
She tries to stay up.
Terrified.
She tries to stay up. 11, 12, 1. Eyes are heavy. She's on the couch. She thinks like, well, I'm going to go to my room at least. Close the door. So she goes up. Boomer. You know, Boomer's like, this dog's been around with her for a while. It's been Emma's best friend. Always sleeps on the floor by the bed. Emma always pets it when she goes to sleep. Usually it licks her hand. You know, it's just like a friendly dog. It's her best friend right by her side. So she slips off to sleep. Boomer's there. She feels good about it. Not more than maybe a couple hours later, She seems to be woken up, but it sounds like a dripping. Like you know when like a shower drips. Hits the like the base of the shower, base of the tub. She hears that. She's like, man, I don't remember having a shower, but this again, this house, it's like an older house, so she thought like, you know, the tap might be leaking. She's not getting up. She puts her hand down. Sure enough, there's Boomer. She feels Boomer lick her hand. Oh yeah, slips, makes her comfortable, slips her back to sleep. Maybe an hour and a half later again. The drip. She hears the drip again. Now she's like, no, this has never happened before. Now she's a little worried. She gets up. She goes to the bathroom, flicks on the light, and over the shower rod is Boomer. His throat slit.
No!
Blood dripping down and splattering over the tub base.
The fuck licked her hand then?
Immediately, she hears a down the stairs. Someone running down the stairs. Terrified, she runs back to her room to grab her phone and to call 911. As she looks to her bedside table, her phone is gone.
Oh no. Fuck.
She's terrified now, and she hears the front door open. Boom! Slam! So whatever was under her bed, has left the house. She runs downstairs, locks the front door behind whatever this was, or whoever it was. Now, this happened in 2017, so many people get rid of their landlines. You know, they keep a mobile phone only. So her phone is gone. Her parents got rid of their landline. She has no way to call. She's not going to run outside. It's like 4 a.m. Pitch black, cold. It's probably like -5. A little bit of frost out there. So she goes to the den where they have like a desktop. Powers on the desktop. Goes to punch in the password to get online onto Facebook. She can message friends to call or whatever. In her mind, that's what she's thinking. As soon as she presses enter on the passkey, the lights go out. The computer turns off. And behind her, she hears the door creak open. And a man's voice whispers, "Humans can lick hands too." And that was the end of Emma. Jesus.
We got to do a click in the arms of the angel for Boomer. Rest in peace, my dog.
Poor
one out from the angel.
Poor Boomer.
Fly away.
No chance to bark.
That's fucked up, though. That was scary, man.
The story has been now in internet lore as the licked hand. From this one moment. Or also many moments before. The legend of the licked hand is one of the more popular campfire terrifying urban legend tales around. And the earliest rendition I could find was 1871 by someone named Dearman Burchell. And it's a similar tale, but
is that his real name?
That is his real name. That is correct.
I'm gonna feel awful tonight when I fucking uppercut Axel to fucking hell when he licks my hand when I'm trying to sleep. He's going to get fucking a quick one.
Back in 1885, though, it ends with "humans can lick ye hand as well."
in this rendition in 1871, it was a burglar. The first
that licks the hand? That,
licked hands.
Yeah, so it's a couple and a burglar, and they put their hand down. There's no, the dog is not killed in this one. They put the hand down. The burglar licks their hand. They go back to sleep. He robs them. He runs away.
I know it's definitely something that I've heard before. Like the iteration of that story is something that I've heard before in different form and like various forms.
Oh, there's so really, many different versions of it.
Like that's it's horrifying. Whether it's like in a joke form, like more of a joke form than, you know, an actual urban legend form. It's like, yeah, I've heard that. Cause as soon as you said, oh, when she goes to sleep and then Boomer's always there to lick her hand, I'm like, oh, okay, that's the catch.
Yeah, it's a very
like
popular one.
There's always
one.
That weird little detail when these kinds of stories, you're like, oh, that's it.
Yeah, it's definitely one of the more popular campfire urban legend tales around. Yeah, I definitely, I modernized it a little bit different. Usually it ends, most of the stories end with Boomer's blood on the mirror. Humans can lick hands too. And that usually ends there. But we had to spice it up for a little
goofy,
dramatic.
Because they're like, yeah. How does the guy know that the dog licks her hand every night? Like,
who knows, Dan? Who knows? But he does, and he licks.
But he does. And he tells her, and he feels like he has to tell her that. Strange. But it's a good one.
It's a good campfire story. You can make up your own versions. Yeah.
That's how you tell a fucking story. Like that was, there was some serious silence there. Like you pause for dramatic.
And listen, fucking, all you have to do is break into someone's house and lick their hand. And then this story's true.
I'd be more concerned if she like put her hand down in there and it's like, I don't have it. Wait a minute. I don't have a doc.
Oh fuck. Oh shit.
One of those kinds of stories.
All right, another tale.
Or just like Boomer came running in from a different room, you know?
I thought Boomer was going to save the day.
Boomer came running up from downstairs or something. Like, wait,
yeah.
What the fuck?
Whenever there's a dog in a scary movie, you always anticipate them to save the day, not get fucking hung up by the shower curtain, fucking dead. That was awful.
Yeah, it's terrible. Anytime a dog dies, it's even worse than a human.
We're going to get fucking some PETA reviews now, Zell.
I changed the characteristics of the story. Maybe the original version wasn't a dog. It was something else.
Hamster?
Sure. He just sits under the bed and squeaks.
Yeah. Some kind of pig.
Guy starts kicking around his little ball. He's running around in.
All right. And for our last tale of the night.
I'm too scared to go.
To the mongoose we go.
That was terrifying. Oh, I'm too scared now. That was it. I was way too scared.
Perfect.
I'm going to be sleeping with my hands like tucked in my armpits.
Tonight. Just put your mattress on the floor. Problem solved.
There you go.
All right. For my super true urban legend, I'm going to talk about Der Grossman.
Der Grossman.
Der Grossman. So some claim that De Slenderman has existed since the 16th to 18th century in medieval Germany and went by a different name, Der Grossman. Some claim to have seen a man roaming the Black Forest.
De Grossman?
De Grossman, that's what he's called.
Grossman. Oh, yeah.
Der Grossman.
Der Grossman, okay.
Yeah. Some claim to have seen a man roaming the Black Forest, aka Der Schwarzwald, roaming the forest and snatching away children who disobey their parents. The myth states that the tall man was possibly a child molester who was strung up about the trees as punishment for his crimes. His spirit is said to have survived and continues to prey upon the young. The tall man is generally depicted as an unusually tall. He can grow to different heights, capable of blending in with trees of the forest, and completely bald figure sporting a business suit with either a red or black tie. He has no eyes, nose, or ears, and has a very wide grin running from side to side of his face. In some cases, he is reported as having a hat, tentacles, or multiple limbs sprouting from his back, which he uses to ensnare his prey. What makes Der Grossman so fearful is that his existence is questionable. He may be real or he may not. Perhaps the majority who have encountered the tall man have never lived to tell the tale. In fact, fear of the Slenderman, may actually manifest him into your reality, creating a bridge between fact and myth. The tall man is commonly spotted hiding and lurking about in fog, stalking his victims. De Grossman usually befriends his children victims, acting as an imaginary friend of sorts, and is capable of luring them into forests at night with psychokinetic powers. From then on, the children walk mindlessly into the branching arms of De Grossman as he grins at their young faces, never to be seen or heard of again. Some say these children are eaten, taken to another dimension, or possibly worse. Again, myths vary. De Grossman is said to be capable of slowly driving his victims to madness, can introduce paranoia, give coughing fits to them, and induce disorientation and dizziness, amnesia, and insomnia. He is even said to be capable of visiting them in horrendous nightmares that vary from person to person. Such victims are slowly driven to insanity and soon incapable of thought outside the realm of fear. This induced insanity is said to weaken victims, making them more susceptible to his control. He loves to toy with his prey before he finishes them off. In some cases, victims become mindless minions of de Grossman, working to bring in more victims to him for his satisfaction. These minions may plant listening devices in your home, follow you around without you being aware of it, and watch over you as you sleep. Some say he can teleport and appear at multiple locations at the same time. In some myths, he's able to distort electronic equipment. Quite possibly, de Grossman is some electromagnetic entity.
Alien.
Think you can kill him or ambush him? Think again. With his psychokinetic powers, de Grossman can deflect bullets and other objects away from his body before impact.
Fuck.
Ambush would also be quite impossible. If you've seen de Grossman, it is impossible, likely, that he is closely watching you in all of your actions.
Hey, did you say he can deflect bullets?
Yeah.
That's awesome.
He's fucking
invincible, boys.
That must be the electromagnets. It'd be just magnetos them away.
But he's like from a different dimension.
Why would he have invincible?
Yeah, why would he have to deflect? Okay. Sure.
All right, I didn't hear anybody else's stories getting fucking cursed here, boys. I didn't hear it. I'm just getting shit on here.
No, I love it.
No, people can block bullets with their mind. What about mind bullets? What if I shoot mind bullets?
I don't know, man. Next time you run into de Grossman, you can ask him.
Right. De Grossman.
Question him about it.
The Slender Man.
I don't even know where I was now. You guys killed my vibe. I quit.
It's psychokinetic. All the fun's over.
We were talking about blocking bullets. Blocking bullets.
Yep. No, it's fine.
Keep going. Blocking bullets. Then what?
That's it. No.
We're just going to wait here until you keep going.
Failed attempts to strike at de Grossman with a weapon may be met with him obstructing your nervous system and disabling your body functions, making it ever more easy for him to finish you off. Again, it is not known exactly what happened once a victim has finally been taken by him. Some say they simply disappear. In more gruesome accounts, the victims' bodies are found impaled on tree limbs with their organs placed throughout their bodies in plastic bags. The most frightening possible fate may be that de Grossman extends his fingers to great lengths, punctures the bodies of the victims, and destroys every major internal organ they have within, tying them up from the inside into a great, slendery, and bloodily knot.
Oh my God.
Terrifying. That's de Grossman.
Remember the thought of de Grossman bring him even more closer to you. Trying to forget about him will also lead him to you.
What?
Once you see him, there is no turning away from the possibility of the ends which await you. Those slender shadows you see moving in the dark of the night, or that tall, misshapen tree in the distance, may very well be de Grossman, watching, waiting, grinning. Now, the first historical account of de Grossman comes from 1702. Goes as, "My child Lars, he is gone, taken from his bed. The only thing we found was a scrap of black clothing. It feels like cloten, but it is softer, thicker. Lars came into my bedroom yesterday, screaming at the top of his lungs that the angel is outside. I asked him what he was talking about, and he told me some nonsense fairy story about de Grossman. He said he went into the groves by our village and found some cows dead, hanging from a tree. I thought nothing of it at first, but now he is gone. We must find Lars, and my family must leave before we are killed. I am so sorry, my son. I should have listened. May God forgive me." Now we have...
That's insane.
Wow, it's just shit's about to get even weirder. Because we got a story from a friend of ours about de Grossman. All right, so obviously when we say these stories, we got to do it in our first person, or else it's going to sound like shit. Right, so this didn't happen to me. It might sound like it happened to me, but it obviously didn't happen to me. All right? So this story takes place in a place kind of similar to Norsen, Germany, yeah. In a time like now, or like maybe like the 1600s or something, maybe. One evening, me and my twin sister Stella were playing with wooden sticks or whatever you'd play with in the 1600s. When our mother came into the room and interrupted, she stated that we must go out into the woods, go for a late night walk. My sister Stella looked up to my mother and said, "But Dada, he's going to come home soon. We are late. We have to have our bath." Mother says, "That is enough. Silence. I am the parent and you will listen to me. We are going for the walk now." So me and my sister Stella looked at each other, grasped hands, and followed Mom outside and then into the woods. The deeper we went, the more strange we began to feel. But still, we did not question our mother. As we kept walking into the thicker, deeper forest, we noticed a clearing. And in the middle of the clearing, there was a tree that kind of stood out from the others. It was black and thinner than the other trees. My sister looked over and whispered into my ear, "The tree is moving." My sister whispered into my ear, "I think that thing is alive." My mother heard us whispering, turned her head at us, and we both instantly gasped. Her eyes were as black as the night itself. She growled, "Enough." Startled, me and Stella clung to each other just in time for the tree to come more into focus. And we realized that it wasn't a tree at all, but a tall, skinny-looking man dressed in noble garb with arms as boneless as snakes. Stella looked at me and said, "Where are his eyes? Masa, I am scared." My mother then reached into her bag and pulled out a long, sharp knife, emotionless, told me to draw a circle on the ground large enough to fit both I and Stella in. I looked at Stella and screamed, "Run, Stella, run!" And we both took off together into the woods, running as fast as we could. We did not look back. As we approached a path that seemed somewhat familiar, the path that we took into the forest, the one that led to our house, I looked over to Stella and realized she was no longer there. I was alone. So determined, I continued home, knowing that Father would be home soon. I ran home, hid under my bed, and anxiously waited for his arrival. When he finally arrived, in what felt like hours, I ran to him and told him what had transpired.
Hilfa!
Fasa! Fasa!
Hilfa!
That's help.
He told me to go into the shed and grab his axe. When I got back, he told me to lock all the doors and said he'd be back with Stella and Mother soon, and under no circumstances should I open the door for anyone else but him. I returned to under my bed, terrified. And the next thing I knew, I was awaking to a knocking at the door. "Open the door, it is your father." Instantly, I noticed, that does not sound like the papa. So I refused. There was another knock at the door, louder, angrier. "Open this door now, this is your mother." I screamed, "Where is Stella? Where is papa?" And with a loud crash, the door flew open. The sound of splitting wood echoed through the house. Immediately, I covered my mouth, trying to hold back the sobs as tears poured over my hands. Everything went silent, other than the slow tapping of footsteps and the sound of my heart pounding against the floorboards. Slowly, the steps were getting louder and louder until her feet became visible from where I was hiding under the bed. Out of nowhere, two tentacle-like arms wrapped around my feet, dragged me from out under the bed. Tried as I could to grip the floor, but the snake-like arms pulled me with ease. Next thing I knew, I was looking up at my mother, staring back at me. She tilted her head to the side, eyes black as coal. And that's when I realized, clutched in either one of her hands, was Stella and Papa's severed heads, dripping blood on the floor.
No.
I cried out, "Why, Hilfa? Mother, why?
Hilfa!" She snap back and hiss. Because there is no reward for goodness in this world. Nothing but cold steel teeth and the scourging fires of hell for all of us. And now it is coming for you. As the grasp of the black tentacles eased from around my feet, this was my moment to escape. I jumped to my feet only to feel the same grasp. Now, around my throat, I fought. And I fought as my head became heavier and the room became darker, staring into my mother's arms. The warm, rancid breath on the back of my neck.
Fuck.
Pretty sure that's true.
That's a true tale right there.
I'm pretty sure it's a true story.
Yeah, I believe it.
Yep.
Oh my god. True. Severed heads?
Yeah.
Nope.
Pretty fucked up, boys.
Yeah.
Pretty fucked up.
All true.
Grossman.
I didn't realize fucking DeGrossman that he's like a fucking mutant.
He's the precursor to Splenderman.
Splenderman. He replaces your pure cane sugar with artificial sweetener.
That son of a bitch.
Some say he's a villain, others a hero.
Cutting off heads and saving people from diabetes.
He cuts off the legs of those undeserving. Yeah, those are some good urban legends. Now, we have been on quite a spooky train for all of Spooktober. We got one more spooky episode that's going to be a fan submission next week. Dan, what's the Spooktober fan submission? What's winning right now?
Yeah, if you're on our $10 tier on Patreon, as you know, every month it is the Ron Pond fan pick poll that goes up on our Patreon page, and if you'll be able to see it, once you join the elite. And this month, at the end of Spooktober, we had three choices. We had the Watseka Wonder, we had the Great Amherst Mystery, and we had Franklin Castle. All spooky, spooky places. I think one is a possession, one is a problematic poltergeist, and then the other one is a haunted castle, like somewhere in Ohio.
It's the most haunted place in all the world.
Place in all of the world.
In all of Ohio, perhaps. But this
in the world. Month,
with
the most haunted place on all of the fair.
It was pretty close at the beginning, but the Great Amherst Mystery pulled ahead. Ooh. So we'll be covering that at the end of the month.
Awesome.
Great Amherst Mystery.
So cool. I believe that one is a bit of a poltergeist, spooky poltergeist story. We'll be looking into case of haunted haunted. So there's a haunting going on, and people like it. It looks pretty, pretty wild.
Theorite of the week this week is going out to Connor Gage. Connor Gage sent me a little care package for our friend Fjord on Dungeons and Dragons, which is a Patreon exclusive. He sent me two matching blades. Fjord's Ernest.
Yes.
If you know, you know.
Like one should have been like Ernest and Ernst. Like
no, it's Ernest and Ernest. They're both.
Guy is an absolute craftsman. Yeah. Those are fucking awesome. Those are fantastic.
Well, he wrote a note just so I can give some people some, it says, "Hail Bacab. The blades are made of Corley maple to resemble Damascus steel."
Dope.
"The hilt is made from walnut because I thought Fjord could use some nuts." Keep up the good work, Connor Gage.
That's canon.
And as Connor asked, he said, well, he wasn't sure if it was Ernest or Ernest as in like E. And I said, no, both blades are named after my hero, Ernest P. Worrell. And they're both named in his memory.
Ernest goes to camp. Ernest goes to school.
Oh, dude, Ernest Scared Stupid.
Yeah, this is
Ernest Scared Stupid is the best one.
Ernest Goes to Camp. Which one? It's a good old Halloween movie. Anyways, dude, Connor
Ernest
Gage,
Scared Stupid, it's his best by far.
Absolute legend. That's a theorite of the week for you. Thank you for those. And if you want to see them in action the next time we play D&D, get on our Patreon. It's going to be a time. Maybe I'll send those off to the Stoned Oak Tavern, and I'll get Fjord to do him a little shout out this week.
All right. If you want to listen to D&D, like Brayden said, patreon.com/alientheoristpodcast. Find the link in the description. 250 bonus hours. Skip those pesky ads. All the other goodies. This week's newest supporters. Gerardo. Oh, fuck. Rezga? Ruska?
Gerardo, oh, fuck, Ruska.
Gerardo, oh, fuck, Ruska! Mike Ox. I see what he's trying to do here. I'm going to give it to him.
Read the name.
Mike Ox Limp. Good one. Casey McGregor. Croc Crotch. Mm. Okay. River Row. James from East Willimbury. Where's that? Sounds
this
in the UK.
From the Shire.
The Shire.
It's Middle Earth.
Cole Gomez.
Hey, we know Cole.
Cole, welcome
OG
back.
OG fan.
OG.
OG.
OG fan.
Danny, want to read some?
We've got fire. We've got Austin Kipp. Signor Recio.
I like it.
Daniel Mansbridge.
I recognize that name. He's welcome back.
Belinda Hawkins. Sean Deshaun.
Deshaun.
Stephen Michael Salaturo. Cody Jones and Nate Olson.
Thank you very much for supporting the show.
And as we always say at the end of these things, keep those eyes on the sky.